Hi, and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. I'm Atik.
And I'm Nyla.
We're both professional registered homeopaths, and between us have over 25 years of professional practice in this field of healing.
The Homeopathy Health Show is the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcasts around the world, promoting and raising awareness of this truly unique system of healing and healthcare, which is suitable for all ages, young and old.
Every week, we invite guests from the world of homeopathy to come and share their experiences, their work, offer insights, and essentially talk all things homeopathy.
Visit www.ukhealthradio.com to listen now. To find out more about us, you can visit us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk. And whilst you are there, do subscribe to our newsletter.
Be inspired.
And join the conversation.
So let's begin today's show here on the UK Health Radio Network, the world's number one talk health radio.
Real feel-good radio.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. I'm Atik.
And I'm Nyla. Welcome, everyone.
It's so wonderful to be back, as always, every week. It's in my diary. It's in Nyla's diary. And hey, what? You know what? If it wasn't, we wouldn't be here, would we? So there you go. Anyhow, we have some really, really interesting news for you today with our special guest, none other than Dr. Farooq Master. But what is the interesting news? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the interesting news is that the Society of Homeopaths here in the UK have their annual conference, and that's taking place on Saturday, the 16th of May, from 9:30 onwards in London. And the respected and much beloved Dr. Farooq Master will be there, fingers crossed, for the to talk about oncology and how homeopathy can provide palliative care as far as oncology is concerned, and as far as, you know, generally looking after patients who may have serious pathology such as cancer and also other autoimmune conditions. Now, for those that are not aware of Dr. Master, and we will be very surprised if you are not, Nyla, please do.
Dr. Farooq Master is one of the most respected and influential figures in contemporary homeopathy with over four decades of clinical experience. He has treated thousands of patients across the world, specializing in complex and chronic conditions, including cancer, autoimmune disorders, and psychiatric illnesses.
Now, he is the first Indian homeopath to receive an honorary PhD in oncology and has integrated classical homeopathy with modern research, earning global recognition for his pioneering work in homeopathic care.
A prolific author, Dr. Master has written over 60 books and numerous journal articles, many of which are considered essential texts for students and practitioners alike. Dr. Master is a gifted teacher and international lecturer, having conducted seminars in over 40 countries. He's known for his sharp clinical acumen, deep understanding of materia medica, and compassionate approach to healing.
As the director of the Homeopathic Health Center in Mumbai and a senior professor at several institutions, he does continue indeed to mentor the next generation of homeopaths. And I have to say here, ladies and gentlemen, Nyla and I, we both have to say one thing here, which is very, very important. You know, Dr. Master is one of those rare individuals, rare healers, rare homeopaths who actually have so much incredibly deep commitment and passion for the love of humanity and the love of nature. And one can see that on his face. And you know, it's a God-given gift for any homeopath to be able to serve humanity as he does. Nyla.
Thank you, Dr. Saab, for joining us today. We are really, really grateful and would love to know more about your service in treating autoimmune conditions and cancer patients. How did you, first of all, welcome today.
Yes,
before
welcome.
We dive in. It's such an important topic, and we just want to gather as much as we can from your experience for our homeopaths out there.
Okay. So what do you want to know from me?
We look at the rise of autoimmune conditions, and we see the rise of cancer, and the statistics are quite alarming, especially in the West. And we find that there's so much research being done, and there is always talk about the environment, about pesticides and about chemicals, the lifestyles that we lead, the geomagnetic stress upon us and our organs. What is your take and what is your understanding with so much knowledge that you have as far as why is
whatever
this
you said,
rise?
yeah, Atik, whatever you said is totally true to begin with. But I feel the main cause in the last many decades that you can see, the world is becoming more and more materialistic. The materialistic attitude towards the life, the greediness, overambitiousness, you know, is one of the main cause which leads to many lifestyle diseases. And 42% of diabetics are highly prone to develop cancer sooner or later in their life. So diabetes, hypertension and cancer, they always go hand in hand. You will rarely see a person who has a cancer but does not have a diabetes. The statistics are pretty high in my hospital. So that is number one. Number two is the grief, the silent grief, the suppressed anger, shock, betrayals. These are also some of the important psychological causes that we see. Single parent syndrome, lack of love in childhood, another very important cause of cancer that we see in our practice. So these are some of the causative factors that I see every day. In my hospital, we run a homeopathic outpatient department for palliative care in three major hospitals in India. Regarding autoimmune disease, it is again the same thing because you are playing with your immune system, with antibiotics, with vaccination. According to me, these are the two main causes. Repeatedly using suppressive mode of treatment for small and minor ailments. This is when your immune system becomes topsy-turvy and it does not recognize the outside agent that attacks your body, or it starts attacking its own body without recognizing whether this is self or not self. And that is how the beginning of autoimmune disease starts. And that is why you will see so many thyroid conditions. Amongst the biggest autoimmune disease that we see today in my practice, I'm talking about, is thyroid disorders. Either it is hypothyroidism or hyperthyroidism or autoimmune thyroiditis. So thyroid is one organ that is targeted. And that second is the rheumatoid arthritis, which is also very common. So people basically take so much immunosuppressions, steroids, cyclophosphamides, and all those things that reduces your immune system so that it reduces your swelling and pain. But in long run, this can also lead to cancer and other complications. So this is the area where we treat with homeopathy. We reduce all the drugs that the person is taking slowly. We taper him off all the immunosuppression, and finally we cure the patient. So this is what we do with autoimmune patients. Regarding cancer, we usually get many, many terminally ill patients. Now, every cancer cannot be cured. That's very, very important for us to know. But every cancer patient has got some symptoms which will respond to homeopathy. So if you can reduce some symptoms of cancer patient, I consider that as cure. Because to give him comfortable life, to allow him to live with dignity is what we want. He can sit with his family, eat dinner, laugh, watch television. That's what we want in palliation. So we want palliation at the level of mind. We want palliation at the level of physical body. On physical body, we have to reduce the pain, we have to reduce the inflammation, we have to reduce the swelling, we have to reduce the discharges. So all these aspects, we treat them and try to give overall relief to the patient who comes to us in cancer department. This is what I have to say.
Thank you so much. If I may just quickly add, before Naila jumps in, with the majority of cancer patients in the West, certainly as homeopaths when we see them, they never present themselves as stage one. Often it's stage three or stage four. And that
Yes.
can become quite challenging.
Yes, I agree with you. See, normally after the beginning of cancer within your body and the time that you produce symptom on the surface of the body is anywhere between 2 to 17 years. So the cancer cells are quite active in your body either 2 years before the symptom comes out or as late as 17 years. This is what the textbook of medicine has written. That is why when patient comes to us, usually they are in a very advanced stage, either grade 3 or grade 4. Before that, since there were no symptoms, they don't go to doctor.
This is very interesting because, as you mentioned, 2 to 17 years before they start, what can the patients do? Or if we think about homeopathic remedies or temperament, which temperaments are more prone to developing these diseases?
So it is very important to diagnose from the homeopathic angle. Now I'm talking from the homeopathic angle that you have to diagnose patient at the precancerous stage. That's the best stage where you can cure the cancer because you will not allow cancer to come in the body. Now there are certain indications which every homeopath should know the symptoms of precancerous.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
The station that makes you feel good.
Now, the first and the most important precancerous symptom that comes years before the person develops cancer, and that is lack of animation. Lack of animation, lack of joy. Does not laugh much, does not talk much. There are hardly any good expression on the face, does not take much interest in life. This is what I put as lack of animation. And if you find this, please probe and try to find out why is he behaving like that? What is the reason? What is the cause? The second most important thing that I see is insomnia. Sleep will get disturbed years before you develop cancer. So either you have sleepless nights, you have a very short sleep, intermittent sleep, restless sleep. So that's the second cause. Third is indigestion. acidity, dyspepsia, constipation. They all go together. So this is the third precancerous condition. Then, very important thing that you should notice over here is that there are certain tests. There are some tumor markers. There is some what is known as mammography. There is something known as pap smears. They can also demonstrate to you cancer much, much before the actual cancer can come. Like tumor markers can be abnormal months and years before the actual cancer will come in your body. The pap smear, which we do, cervical pap smear, the cells can show cytological changes months before that woman develops cervical cancer. Mammography, a dense mammary gland or hardness or stellar shaped spikes within the mammography are very early signs of cancer of the mama. Loss of weight is another very important thing. Unusual loss of weight, unusual loss of appetite. These are precancerous conditions. Catch the patient at that stage. And you will see that if you start homeopathic treatment, mostly constitutional treatment is best at this particular stage. Selecting an antisoric remedy will definitely have a major role in curing the cancer at that particular stage. But if you ignore those symptoms, because either the symptoms are very minor, patient doesn't pay attention to those symptoms, or maybe he tries to do some other treatment, then definitely cancer will come after a few months or few years. And that cancer will be an advanced cancer because we ignore the precancerous signs.
So how do you reconcile then the conventional medical understanding and cancer pathology with a homeopathic view of disease and then miasms, as you mentioned, antisoric remedies here?
Yeah, so when a person comes in precancerous, basically it's a soric miasm. Soric miasm goes into psychosis when actual tumor forms in a cauliflower shape. At that time, you have a tumor which is cauliflower shape. You get lymph nodes which are enlarged. You get swelling, but no ulceration. Psychotic miasm has no ulceration, just overgrowth. That is very, very important. No hemorrhage. So no hemorrhage, no ulceration. Then we go to tubercular phase of miasm. Here you will see lot of hemorrhage. That's very important. And some ulceration. And these ulcers have got undermined edges. That's tubercular. In syphilitic, there is necrosis. There is bony metastasis. There are fractures. There are ulcers. There are fistulas. There are gangrenes. This is the syphilitic part of the cancer. Unfortunately, patients that we see in our outpatient department, it's just 5% soric, 95% are mostly psychosyphilitic.
It's quite an alarming rate, isn't it?
Yes.
See, it's...
Yeah. Because people always take modern medicine first and then come to us. So we try to lose a lot of precious time, no?
Absolutely. The challenge we face, you know, if there was an analogy, it's like when we see these horse races and, you know, the bars go up before a horse race and all the horses run. This is how I find sometimes the challenge of trying to convince and to assist patients who have serious pathology, because they're at so much speed already with everything else that they've used conventionally. It's so difficult sometimes, isn't it, Dr. Master, to slow that horse down?
I agree. Modern medicine has got power. Modern medicine has got money. Modern medicine has got a big name, big support from government and all other organization, pharma company supports modern medicine. So that's the main reason why after diagnosis of cancer, a general population are always attracted to first try modern medicine.
Absolutely. And also there's this fear, and it's of course absolutely justified that, we need to do something and we need to go with an established system. But this is the beauty, isn't it, of homeopathy. Actually, we'll talk about this in a minute, because I know Nyla wanted to ask reference the myisms.
I'm very interested in the, before going into the psychosyphilitic state, the psoric state, the precancerous stage. What can we homeopaths, for example, in this modern stressful society, who have patients coming for follow-ups all the time, look into the any visible symptoms from a homeopathic angle that we can keep an eye on, or any internal signs that anyone who is listening to our podcast today can keep an eye on?
Yes, so I told you precancerous symptoms, and the moment you diagnose precancerous symptom, look at the family history. That is very important. And then you select a constitutional medicine based on the constitution, physical symptom, mental symptoms. And that is the ideal treatment. You carry on that, have regular examination of the patient every 3 to 6 months, depending on type of cancer that you are thinking. And I tell you the success rate will be 70 to 80%. You don't try to use any protocols or any specific medicines. No, these are dangerous to apply because here you get very good history, you get very good symptoms. Please make use of that in your totality.
You work in a very, very busy hospital, and I know previously we've talked about that. And what do you see walking into practice every day? Is it people who have just been diagnosed, or is it people who are along their journey, or just a really a mixture of everything?
Basically, people who come to us are in a very advanced stage. Most of them are stage 4. Today afternoon, I saw a case of cancer of the gallbladder with extensive jaundice. He was losing weight, he was vomiting bile, he was very weak, he has no appetite. Now, here to give him constitutional medicine will be a crime. Here we have to tackle only local symptom because his susceptibility is very poor. And so I started with hydrastis 6 for 7 days, followed by 12 for 7 days, followed by 30 for 7 days, and called him after 3 weeks because hydrastis covers all these symptoms which I just mentioned to you. So many times we have to make use of small remedies in advanced cancer patient to give them little relief. Then when they get little relief and they start feeling better, then you look for constitutional symptom, general symptom, mental symptom, and select a deeper remedy.
I love what you're saying there, because this is true homeopathy. It's not just one way or the highway. It's very much to do with what does the patient need at this moment in time? What do we need to do for the patient? And that could be treating them from as an acute or a complex acute, or just literally if they're strong enough and the vitality is there from the constitutional side. Can you talk a bit more about this? Because it's so important. And for any new student, certainly it can, or those studying homeopathy, should I say, even for the seasoned homeopaths that we are, it can also sometimes be very challenging to sort of have that demarcation.
So sometimes what happens, one remedy may not even help. Like today, we had another lady with uterine cancer and she was bleeding like a tap. Now she was bleeding 15 days back also, for which I had given a remedy, Trillium Pendulum in 6E potency. Unfortunately, patient was well for 3 days and then again the bleeding started. And this time she said that the same remedy is not helping me. So I have to now look into the Materia Medica and find out whether the color of the blood associated symptoms with the hemorrhage, when does the hemorrhage occur, with urine, with stool, while lying down in the night, in the morning. And when I ask all these questions today, I gave her a remedy, Michella. And Michella in 6C potency, I said, take every 3 hourly and let the hospital know in 48 hours because otherwise she'll become severely anemic. And we gave her Michella. Sometimes you have to keep on changing remedy every 2 to 3 days just to tackle one symptom of cancer. Sometimes we do that also. So different ways of presentation in cancer. Sometimes we have to tackle the cause, like a lady who came to us few weeks back had taken lot of oral contraceptive pills when she was a young girl. Then she developed cancer of the breast at the age of 42. She goes for operation, she does chemotherapy, she does radiation. After 11 months, she gets recurrence in the same breast. Then the doctors are advising second set of chemotherapy and all those things. She prefers to take homeopathy. She comes to me. So the first remedy was to counteract the effect of oral contraceptive pills, not the cancer, because that has produced this cancer. If you take oral contraceptive pills for a very long period, those are the combination of estrogen and progesterone. So I had to start with estrogen 1 mg, 10 mg, 50 mg, one dose each. And then I followed it with a constitutional remedy, natrum muraticum in LM1 potency.
The station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Three months have passed, she's feeling much better. So this is sometimes we have to tackle the cause, sometimes we have to tackle the acute symptom. This is how we work.
That's wonderful. A really important example of our modern times, because not only female, but male are also getting these hormones via breastfeeding, because mothers go on to pill whilst they are breastfeeding, and we are seeing so many issues with male and female hormones nowadays, and the cancer is increasing. I think that's a very, very important issue that we need to work on. Can you share? You have so much knowledge, and you are talking about the cases from your head. Can you share a few more cases, if possible?
So today, only in the OPD, we got another man with a cancer of the prostate gland, and it was grade 4, and he had a very intermittent urination, and passing also blood in the urine. And then he had severe burning at the tip of the penis. So these were the three main symptoms. And based on that, we had to give Clematis 30. And we asked him to report in 3 days. Now let us see how the person responds to us after 3 days. So basically, you need a very sound knowledge of materia medica to differentiate such a remedy, to repertorize the cases. We need that kind of information. And I'm going to demonstrate that when I come to London, and I'm going to teach that.
Thank you. We are so looking forward to the conference.
Yes.
Yes, it should prove Anything to else? Be very, 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 very eye-opening, I think.
Yeah.
In your experience, what emotional or spiritual needs become most important for the patients in stage 4 cancer, like fear of death or guilt or unfinished relationships? What is now, the most?
The moment a person comes to know about cancer, it's a death sentence in their mind, you know. So basically, we give them a lot of positivity. We show them cases in our hospital who have recovered. We make them talk with the patient also who are under treatment. And then they get that kind of assurance, you know. We never talk negative. So if somebody is asking me, when will they die? I will never answer such questions, you know. I said, don't come here if you are going to ask about that. So we give them a lot of positivity.
I wanted to ask you, following on from this, about pain management, because, you know, we talk about palliative care as well, and cancer can present itself as an extremely debilitating and painful condition as one is going through, you know, the treatment protocols. What is your guidance and advice to homeopaths who may find this as well as, you know, overriding even the condition itself, where someone says, you know, doctor, I'm just in so much pain. I've just got pain. Just do something about the pain.
Now, to handle cancer pain is very difficult, because most of the patients that I manage are on morphine sulfate, mostly 60 milligram, 40 milligrams, and we need to taper their dosage. They are also on other painkillers also. So a homeopath should be trained very well how to taper this medicine and then induce homeopathic drugs. Many times these patients are so sick, they cannot give you modality, they cannot give you clear symptoms, whether burning, stitching, lancinating, what kind of pain they have. So here you have to go in your observation, what posture a person is sleeping in, what gives him relief, whether the pain is more in the night or during the day or after eating or after drinking or on lying down, all those modalities of you have to ask the nurse. So many times I ask the nurse by what happened in my absence, and the nurse can sometimes give the information, you know, so we look into all those things before we handle the pain part, you know, of the patient.
So when you talk about tapering medication, and you talked all earlier about immunosuppressants as well, because it is increasing in the UK, I'm also getting patients who are constantly on immunosuppressive remedies, and the picture is then not so clear. What would you advise homeopaths to look into when they are getting these types
of... So what is in present, you select the medicine based on that, then the next set of symptoms will come. You select the remedy on the next set of symptoms, and this is what we call as a zigzag treatment. Otherwise, on the very first day, it is very difficult to assess what are the remedies that the person is going to need in the future. So you have to see on the daily basis how the patient behaves.
So if the patient is, for example, in a better state, and we are going to taper off the immunosuppressive treatment, what do you see after tapering them off? Like, do they get aggravated?
A lot of symptoms will come up. Severe aggravation will take place. And to reduce that aggravation, you may have to use an acute remedy and stop the current constitutional deep acting remedy, or just give something and some anti-inflammatory or some painkiller type of treatment till the aggravation subsides. This I see very, very frequently in psoriatic arthritic patient, in patient with psoriasis or with autoimmune thyroiditis. We see a lot in the hospital.
I'm currently thinking about a patient with psoriatic arthritis, and his bones are getting deformed, and the people are trying to put him on immunosuppressants, and he has declined it. And then there is another patient who is who has psoriasis for a while and then developed diabetes, etc. Now the symptoms are managed and we are at a state where we can actually start tapering off the medication, but there is always this fear from the other side that they don't want to taper off. What if it comes back?
Yeah, so you give freedom to the patient. Let the patient decide how much he wants to take and how much he wants to taper. This is the best thing that I tell my patient. You know, you decide how much morphine you want and how much morphine you don't want to take. Because morphine itself will have so many complications once the patient starts ingesting them. And so slowly you introduce other drugs till the patient develops a faith in you, you know. And then once he develops faith in you, I'm sure patient will follow exactly what you say to the patient. This is what I handle my patients.
That's very, very helpful. Thank you for this. So when we are talking about morphine or drugs or immunosuppressive drugs, and as you've mentioned earlier about using the hormone as in get that cause treated first. So would you give those remedies in homeopathic potency?
Yes. It's very common now in India also. Of course, it's common in Western world, but lot of girls are taking oral contraceptive pills for years together, and then they come to me with breast cancer, ovarian cancer. So I always tell young girls, please don't take oral contraceptive pills for more than 6 months maximum. Don't take for a longer period. So I use many hormones to then antidote that.
So will you use, for example, will you antidote morphine as well in homeopathy?
Of course. I do that.
I would love to ask another question, a very different one. You mentioned Michella, and we know you are a master of keynotes. Would you like to tell us the keynotes of Michella as a remedy?
There are many drugs that I can talk about, but since you are very much interested in Michella repens, I would like to tell you something. It's one of the best anti-hemorrhagic remedies in homeopathy, you know. So, especially when you see bright red blood coming out from various parts of the body. So, and it resembles ipecac a lot. So, that is very important. So, ipecac, in ipecac, you get what is known as breathlessness along with hemorrhage. In Michella, you get fainting along with the breathlessness. So this is how we differentiate the remedies for the patient. And Michella also has got gushes of hemorrhage. So it doesn't come in one drop, two drop. It goes in a gush, especially from the vagina. So many times in cancer of the uterus, we need to use Michella. Another drug is Calcarea sulfstibato. We use that also. Califerocinetum also. These are the drugs we use a lot for cancer of the uterus. Okay?
Wonderful.
Is it okay?
That's perfectly fine, yes. I think, I believe that we are out of time because you need to go, and you are actually doing this from your hospital. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Bye. See you in UK. Bye.
I do hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. Tune in every week for inspiring conversations, bringing you all things health and well-being to your radio and podcast apps.
The more exposure the Homeopathy Health Show receives, the better for homeopathy around the world.
And please do support the show by clicking follow on our socials.
You can find us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk and on Facebook and Instagram at Homeopathy in Practice. Do give us a follow on there. Let's promote the voice of homeopathy around the world together. Until next time, stay safe and take care.